This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Dove. You use all the right skincare products for your face, but your body has been missing out. With new Dove Serum Body Wash, you can give your body the vitamin C glow it's been wanting, the hydration boost it's been craving, and the active skincare ingredients it deserves. It's time for your body care era. New Dove Serum Body Wash. Get Dove or get FOMO.
Hello and welcome back to Smart TV, and I can only say that I hope everybody has had a very Merry Christmas so far. With me in the chair, still recovering visibly from the exertions of the festive period, Kellyanne Taylor.
Hello, hello, hello.
Very good, still smiling. So always. This is our special second part of our Christmas Bonanza double issue, where we will be looking at some of the ways of celebrating New Year's Eve if you're not planning to go out, plus a look at what's on TV this week and in possibly the next few days of the first few days of the new year. And we will also, in a little surprise Brucey bonus, be looking back at the best telly of 2023. But because everyone's doing these long, long lists, we're keeping it simple. We're keeping it to three titles each and then just telling you where you can go and find them.
Yes.
So shall we kick off? Kellyanne, how can we, if we're not going out
on New Year's Eve? Because I can understand why. It's incredibly expensive. It's cold.
I will not be going very far at all.
No.
So for those not going out, myself included, what can we be watching on the box?
So kick off 6 p.m. ITV1 with the National Lottery's New Year's Eve Big Bash. That's hosted by Jason Manford and Alicia Dixon, and with music from Take That, Busted, Paloma Faith and Becky Hill. That's quite the lineup. So you can start with that, whet your appetite. And then I will be watching, even if I don't watch it in real time, The Graham Norton Show. That's on at 10:25.
Do we know who the guests are for that?
Yes, we do. And it's quite the lineup. Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, Claudia Winkleman and Nadia Hussein. He always manages to get a really, really starry lineup. And he never disappoints. I love his show. I think every week there is something to go and enjoy. And I think especially looking back over the year, this is going to be a great episode.
Great fun.
So after that, you've got your choice of two different shows. So BBC Two at 11:30 p.m. Rod Stewart will be making his annual Hootenanny debut and joining Jules Holland. Or on BBC One, Rick Astley rocks New Year's Eve from 11:30 p.m. Two different offerings. Which one would you lean towards?
Well, I feel like Rick Astley is slowly becoming the new Rod Stewart with his kind of housewife's choice, future-proofing his career. So I would say catch Rod while you can, because I think there's a plenty of Rick in our future.
Very true. That's a very wise way to look at the schedule. So, I mean, take your pick. There's lots on. I think that's the great thing about New Year's Eve. You can flick through the channels because you're going to be watching snippets of people singing into microphones, listening to the music that made this year, hearing people reflect on 2023. It's going to be a night of celebrations, isn't it?
Do you remember when Robbie Williams did the New Year's Eve party on BBC One. And everybody was really shocked because he was shaking hands with all his fans and then visibly using hand sanitizer. And I thought, oh, that's not very nice. It's a bit cold. Well, wasn't he ahead of the curve? Yeah,
goodness.
There we go.
That was foreboding.
Learned from Robbie Williams.
Yeah, gosh. How often do you hear that? Okay, starting from New Year's Day, what dramas are coming out? It's quite a big time for drama, isn't it?
Oh, it's cracking. Mm. Really good stuff. We'll kick off with The Tourist. So this is series two. Jamie Dornan and Danielle McDonald back for more. A big hit 2 years ago in the Australian outback. Nobody saw this one coming. Great chemistry between the two. Bit of a confusing tale, which I still don't fully understand. But they have lived to tell that tale. And this series finds them in Ireland. So in theory, Australia was where Danielle McDonald's character was at home and he was the tourist. This time around, Jamie Dornan is kind of playing host because he's, of course, Irish. So I've seen the first episode and it is as confusing and mesmerising as the previous. So, and catch up on that first series on iPlayer as well. But yes, Tourist kicking off on New Year's Day on BBC One. Over on ITV, same slot, also New Year's Day, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office.
I really want to watch this.
The real life story of, I mean, the shocking miscarriage of justice that befell so many of the nation's post-submasters, where they were asked to account for these malefactions in their accounting and were accused of fraud. And it turned out that it was all the sort of federal software that was the problem, but not before people had really suffered. And this is the story of Mr. Bates, who is a real life person who took this on, not just for himself, but for so many other people suffering, played by Toby Jones. Who else?
Brilliant.
Fool Me Once, if you like a bit of Harlan Coben, which I do.
Okay.
That kicks off as well. Over on Netflix on New Year's Day, they always throw a curveball at this time of year, don't they? Do you remember when everybody watched Bridgerton and it got the highest ratings of the entire year?
Who was that, Caroline? Who was watching Bridgerton?
Or was that just you several hundred thousand times?
I am the Bridgerton correspondent for the entire
You are. We have Fool Me Once, and this stars Richard Armitage, who is, I think, Harlan Coben's muse for these things, but also Michelle Keegan, who just seems to go from strength to strength.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
She's really good. Mm. So that's Fool Me Once on Netflix, also on New Year's Day.
Brilliant.
Yes.
I have a few selections for people who are looking for something a bit different. Now, we see the return of The Traitors, BBC One, Wednesday, 3rd of January, 9 p.m. I've just noticed I'm putting my hands under my chin and doing a weird Mr. Burns move. So the reason why I am doing said action or gesture is because this series terrified me last year. It caused me some palpitations, some low-level anxiety. And for those who don't know, it is a game that we used to play at school. It's, you know, traditional British game where there is, in a group of people, one person who is the traitor, and they are inadvertently not actually killing other members of the
team. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes. And
you're talking
about
wink murder, aren't you?
Effectively wink murder.
Right.
Thank you, Caroline.
That's all right.
It's to the point, isn't it? There we go. So that's returning. Obviously, last year, it did incredibly well. Mm. So we've got Claudia Winkleman walking us through it. And I'm really excited. I think the only hesitation I have about a second series is when this format first came about, it felt very new. Whereas now, the contestants will have had time to see how last year's contestants played. So I think maybe there'll be more strategy coming into this, and I don't know how well that's going to come across.
Yeah, there's a layer of awareness that wasn't there the first time around. I don't think they even knew why they'd been dropped into that Scottish castle.
I don't think
so
either.
Whereas obviously everyone's a bit more informed. But it's like any of these reality TV series, isn't it?
Yeah, like Love Island. Yeah.
Love Island. Everybody was beautifully innocent and naive, and now of course we're all cynical game players.
So that's The Traitors. I think well worth the watch. Okay. I would suggest watching communally rather than individually. I think that's
old
a bit
school.
Nicer. Yeah.
All right.
So that will be Wednesday, 3rd of January, 9 p.m. BBC One.
So, films.
Two quick picks here. We have on BBC One at 6 p.m. on the 30th of December, Paddington 2.
Oh, I mean, that just brings a tear to my eye, even hearing that it's coming. I went to the cinema, I saw it, I cried twice. It's a little bit embarrassing, surrounded by school children.
Doesn't matter.
Just beautiful. And I believe from the same director who has recently brought us...
Wonka.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't think you need any more explaining about that. That's such good viewing. I'm really glad they put that on. If anything, I kind of wish it'd come around Christmas time.
Yeah. That could have been a Christmas Day film back in the day.
Mm,
okay, what else? One. What else you got?
And then for those who are staying home on New Year's Eve and want a film, ITV1, 8:30 p.m, No Time to Die.
Ooh, Bond.
I love Bond.
That's old school for this time of year
as
well.
And I like it. And I thought it was a great film. I think, rather controversially, I think some people didn't enjoy it. But how can you not enjoy Daniel Craig?
Oh, it's intense.
Do you know what? I wouldn't necessarily say that that genre of film is my genre.
Yeah.
But I love the Bond films.
Right.
So, No Time to Die, 8:30 p.m. Go or don't. Do you know what I mean? You can have you can either stay for the music, you can go to BBC One, find all of the music shows, Graham Norton, et cetera, et cetera. Or you can come over to ITV One and you've got your Bond film.
I think a lot of people will be watching Bond on that evening.
I think so. It's probably long enough as well to get you all the way to New Year. Okay.
Great stuff.
So we now have our three top picks from
the
this
pressure.
Year. I know. I've tried to go for streaming. You're going to do terrestrial, right?
Okay. All right. I think nobody can argue with Happy Valley. Everyone was very concerned. Sally Wainwright's coming back. Sarah Lancashire's coming back.
It's been 10 years now.
James Norton, now a big star. Mm. He's back. Tommy Lee Royce, Catherine Kaywood. But she managed it.
Yeah.
Went out with a bang, not a whimper. And it was a crescendo of an emotional finale. It was physical. It was energetic. It had a bit of mystery in it from another case. Very, very satisfying. And I don't think people perhaps realise how difficult it is when you've had that high standard of writing to go out with such fanfare and such success and still leave us wanting more. So
absolutely.
Well done, everyone involved. Happy Valley, all available on the iPlay.
I have The Last of Us, which is available on Now. Never again will people be snobby about screen fiction based on a video game after this series. And I think it was one that when people were explaining the premise, which is Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey play or star as survivors in an apocalypse caused by a zombie virus, that doesn't hook many people. But Craig Mazin, he's the writer behind it. He was actually famous for The Hangover Part 3 and then Chernobyl. What a jump.
Diverse,
brilliant. I loved both. This is just standout drama. And I think the thing that makes it so standout is how the individual episodes carry such weight. The episode 3 is the best piece of television I have ever seen. So you need no more convincing. Don't let the premise be a hang up. Go and watch it because you will be forever grateful. That is The Last of Us on Now.
Not seeing it because of the sci-fi, because of reasons.
Ignore that.
Okay.
Yeah, come back in the new year and I want a full analysis. I want you to have watched at least one episode.
Okay.
You look so unconvinced.
I'll do it for you.
I believe in
you. Because we've been through so much together.
Yeah.
You'll get
to episode 3 and you will be in tears. I thought, how is a sci-fi show making me sob? Sob, genuine heartfelt. It's about a queer relationship. It's two side characters. They're called NPCs in the video gaming world. Mm. What is that? Non-playable character. Suddenly, this man has brought them to life.
Were they really kind of ugly tears?
They were ugly tears, Caroline. And I watched it with other people and there were ugly tears. Men sobbing. Not that men shouldn't sob. Right, tell me, number 2 on your list.
Okay, this is my little Australian niche being indulged. This is The Newsreader. We talked about this.
Yes.
I trumpeted it from the rooftops and series 2 has not let me down. So we have a Melbourne 1980s TV news station with two characters. Anna Torv is the central female protagonist and she is just wonderful. I did actually get to interview her. And interestingly, her aunt is one of Rupert Murdoch's ex-wives. I got too nervous. I just didn't ask her about that. So if anybody knows about 80s TV news, it's that family. But great stories, lovely 80s glamour, lots of brown furniture, which I just love, and cracking soundtrack from that era. So go and feast. Let us know what you think of The Newsreader. There are now two series available on the iPlayer.
So I thought I couldn't have a roundup list and it not include this, because this show has impacted so many people. And I think for the better, it is...
Is it Farmer Wants a Wife?
No, Caroline. Stephen Fry said about the show that he wished he had something like this to grow up with. So this is Heartstopper, available on Netflix, the first two series. And I believe a third is underway. Mm. So this is the LGBTQ plus show set in a school about the relationship between Charlie and Nick, two young schoolboys. It is really tender, really beautiful. And it's in some ways light. They do try to tackle slightly darker issues. There's kind of an absent father and some stories around about sensitive eating topics. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think people come for how heartwarming this show is. So that's Heartstopper, and it's available on Netflix.
Beautiful. Okay, my final offering is the sine qua non of the TV canon of 2023. This is another series that went out very much with a bang and a whimper on some of the characters' parts, but also a deep, profound sense of satisfaction that the writers, the showrunner Jesse Armstrong, everyone involved went out at the peak of their game. This is Succession. So we finally found out who the late Logan Roy was going to leave the company to. We still don't know whether he actually intended to leave it to anyone in particular, but the machinations continued after his shock death halfway through that final series, Brian Cox's performance, spellbinding, but all of them are top-notch performances across the board. The script writing remained as ugly, as spiderish, as quick, as blackly funny as we had come to hope and expect through the preceding three series. And I wouldn't say left us wanting more. I was actually quite happy for it to finish when it did. But just extraordinary television. So that's Succession. And that is all available on Now as well.
So our final offering, this is The Bear on Disney Plus, which is the show that everyone was talking about, it seemed, about the top chef taking over his late brother's restaurant. It's fast paced and it feels very much like you're in a kitchen. I don't know why anyone would want to be a chef after watching that show. The stress levels are high, the stakes are high, and it seems, is it ever possible to make ends meet? So that is The Bear on Disney Plus. Well, never a kitchen. I used to do a lot of waitressing. Never pot wash because that was
They gross. Like you front facing.
That's it, Caroline. This face made for radio.
Don't waste that asset with our customer force.
Have you ever been in the kitchen?
No, nowhere near either. Nowhere near any aspect.
You never
of
worked
this
in a
exercise.
Pub or a restaurant or a bar?
No.
Gosh, what a life.
Couldn't be trusted with any of that business. Well, that's it. Not just for this week, but for this year, Kellyanne.
It's been 1 year that we've been doing this together since we took over Smart TV.
It's flown by.
My goodness.
For some. I would say thank you for a lovely, lovely shared experience of telly. Thank you all for tuning in to join us on this journey through the channels week after week. We hope you've enjoyed it and do join us again for 2024. So I will just leave you with Happy New Year and
happy viewing.